lesson for this morning is taken from the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel. I'll be reading for you verses 11 through 19. This is the story where Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God, except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Thus ends our lesson for this morning. May God add his blessing to this reading and to our understanding.
Thanksgiving is the great day for us Congregationalists. On this holiday, we celebrate the day when the pilgrims publicly thank God for their very lives and food and their new beginnings in this country. Giving thanks is a prayer. Some prayers take place when we ask God for something. Some prayers occur when we just recognize God as God. Prayers of adoration. Other prayers happen when we thank God for what we have received. And by the way, simply attending church is a prayer. You're putting yourself before God. Singing is a prayer. And thinking of God is a prayer. Sometimes people try to narrow prayer to just formal prayer, but that's not the case. So when you're enjoying your Thanksgiving turkey or ham or sushi, and you even include the thought of thanks to God, you're praying. It has been said that gratefulness is the heart of prayer, because gratefulness grows out of who we are in relation to God. For we confirm our absolute dependence upon God and God's mercy. A theologian, David Stendhal Rast, wrote this: "To bless whatever there is, and for no other reason, simply because it is, that is what we are made for as human beings. Whether we understand this or not matters little. Whether we agree or disagree makes no difference. And in our heart of hearts, we know this. Gratefulness is really about awareness and our ability to see into things, discovering the grace that awaits us in everyday things. When we bless things simply because they are, then we are living life in its fullness." Another theologian, Henry Nouwen, said that the height of gratefulness is to love as a person and live as a person who can be constantly surprised and who can let an inch of surprise become a mile of gratefulness. At our earliest ages, we try to teach children to say please and thank you. We want them to realize that the world does not owe them and that what they receive is really a gift. If we receive a thank you card or a thank you email that says, "We are grateful to you, we're thankful, thank you," or "We are appreciating that you," or "We are excited to receive a gift from you," we feel good. And when we send thank you notes or thank you emails to others, what we are hoping that is that we are expressing our gratefulness and that we want the other person to feel good about what they have given us. Now, Thanksgiving Day is a formal day to say the same to our God and to do so publicly. It's one of the rare holidays where we can easily mix God and current culture at the same time. And we can do so at table with friends and relatives. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a modern-day martyr, said this: In ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give, and that it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. I remember my grandmother Mary. She died decades ago, but her love and her gratitude remain very strong in my memory. I never heard her complain, and she went through a lot of hardships in her life. Her husband, my grandfather Peter, died when I was very young, but I still remember him also. So to support herself after Peter died, she worked in a kitchen in a hotel in downtown Chicago called the Hotel Sherman. While I was still in grade school, my Aunt Betty died. She left two children behind and my Uncle Eddie, who was my mother's brother. My cousin Jerry was in the third grade and Marilyn was in kindergarten. And after Betty's death, my grandmother moved in with Uncle Eddie and Jerry and Marilyn, and she continued to work at the Hotel Sherman in the kitchen over there. And what happened is, after Jerry and Marilyn left school, because our house was only about a quarter block from the school, they would come to our house, and my dad and mother would take care of them. Then after work, Uncle Eddie would pick them up and then take them to his house, and by that time, my grandmother had already returned from the kitchen in Hotel Sherman and then had cooked supper for them in order for them to have a family. I never heard my grandmother complain. I never heard my dad complain. I never heard my mom complain. And at the funerals of my grandmother, and then at the funeral of my dad, and then at the funeral of my mother, Jerry and Marilyn both expressed their gratitude to everyone about the care that they had received from my grandmother Mary, my dad, and my mom. And when Uncle Eddie became old, Marilyn and her new husband, Art, built an apartment for him at their home to take care of him. My memories are rich with the care and caring that the family had, and especially of Thanksgiving, because everybody would get together in a large family. And we had the traditional Thanksgiving, turkey, cranberries, mashed potatoes, I'm getting hungry. Everything that made Thanksgiving the kind of celebration it was, a house full of people. When we look at Jesus' life, we see thankfulness also, and it's recorded throughout the Gospels. In Matthew's Gospel, it is recorded, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants." Mark wrote that Jesus ordered the crowds to sit down on the ground, and he took seven loaves, and he gave thanks. Jesus broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And Luke records that Jesus at the Last Supper took a loaf, and when he had given thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body, which I am giving to you." Now, in today's gospel reading, we learn that Jesus cleansed 10 individuals who had leprosy. At that time in history, anyone with a skin disease had to keep their distance from the regular population. So lepers either lived alone or in small communities of misery. In this case, the lepers were respectful. They were respectful to Jesus and all who were around him, because Luke says they called out to Jesus to get his attention. And you can easily hear them shouting loudly to get Jesus' attention. When Jesus turned to them, they said, "Have mercy on us." So Jesus did. He cured them, but not immediately. He gave them a task. He said, "Go to the priests at the Samaritan temple and show yourself to the priests." And the reason that Jesus did so was so that the priests would verify that they were no longer unclean. According to the dictates at that time, once the lepers were certified as clean, they could re-enter society. They could go back into the towns. They could go back into the marketplace. They could then go back into the synagogues. They could then be part of society. They obeyed Jesus. And Luke records, as they walked toward the Samaritan temple, the lepers were made clean. Now, there's the obvious in this story. First obvious, it shows the power of Jesus. It shows the compassion of Jesus. It shows that they called Jesus master. It shows that they wanted mercy from Jesus. But there's another important lesson. As the story continues, we learn that one, only one of the lepers who was cured, turned around to go back to Jesus. This turning around is key, because it was more than just a physical act of turning around. A great deal more occurred. I'll get to that in a few minutes. Luke tells us that while the leper was returning to go back to Jesus, the leper was praising God with a loud voice. When he arrived in front of Jesus, full of gratitude, the leper went face down before Jesus at his feet to thank him. We know he was cured at that time because no one objected to the fact that this person who had a skin disease was now cured, because they could see that he was cured. So here was this man publicly thanking Jesus, this man who was previously unclean with a skin disease, now prostrate directly before Jesus, right at his feet. Now, think of the human Jesus who saw this man lying on the ground at his feet. Jesus remembered him as one who was cured of leprosy. Now, imagine the look on Jesus' face when he looked around for the other 9 lepers. They were not there. And then Jesus turned to his companions and he said, "Weren't 10 made clean? Where are the other 9? Why aren't they giving praise to God? Why only this foreigner from Samaria return? Why?" Now, Luke tells us that the cured leper was told by Jesus to get up and go on with his life, and that his faith made him well. So, what is the difference between being cured from leprosy and being made well? Jesus told the leper from Samaria that not only was his leprosy healed, but also his whole being as well. The other 9 lepers apparently just accepted their being cured as a matter of fact or a matter of right. Maybe they thought they were owed to be cured, or that the magic of Jesus worked well for them, because it certainly could not have been a miraculous cure, because if it was, that would mean that God intervened and then they should praise God for the divine intervention that occurred. Perhaps they thought it was just their lucky day. So we look at Jesus' statement to the one leper that his faith had made him well. And the faith we're talking about here is not the simple faith of a religious denomination. Remember that the leper was a Samaritan. He was not a person who worshipped God at the Jerusalem temple. He was not a Jerusalem Jew. The Samaritans did not worship at the Jerusalem temple. There were major religious differences between the Samaritan leper and the Rabbi Jesus. And this should call your attention to the religious differences of today and how they separate. So Luke does not record that Jesus told the leper that he had to start worshiping the Jerusalem God, or that he had to start going to the temple in Jerusalem. Nope. When Jesus spoke of that one leper's faith, he was defining the relationship that the leper had with God. A relationship of praise, a relationship of thanksgiving, a relationship of adoration, a relationship of who God is in relation to who the leper was, the gratefulness of a mere human being to God. When that one leper turned around, he redirected his life, and he grasped a deeper realization of faith in who God was, and who God is, and who the leper was. Jesus wanted everyone around to hear his comment, because Jesus knew that the one leper had more than been healed of a skin disease. He saw that the one leper was made whole, a complete person. I think what Jesus wanted was for all 10 lepers to realize God's hand in their healing as they returned to society. He expected a totality of wellness for all 10, but that didn't happen. Only one publicly praised God. A writer, Anne Lamott, wrote a beautiful morning prayer, very simple. God, today, help me, help me, help me. And she wrote a beautiful, humble evening prayer. And the evening prayer is, God, for this day, thank you, Thank you. Thank you. So, what do we have to be thankful for? For God's mercy? For the incarnation? For revelation, not just scripture, but the revelation of God's will and God's mercy and God's loving grace. We thank God for friendship. We thank God for children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, for our spouses, for relatives and friends, for babies. We thank God for our homes. We thank God for the health He has given us, no matter what that health may be. We thank God for a great country, a country so significantly different from all the other countries in the world, where there's freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom to vote. We thank God for what we have received in life, whatever it may be. We thank God for the beauty of nature, the abundance of food, and even the abundance of material things. We thank God for the ability to pursue knowledge and the availability to seek out truth. We thank God for arts, music, painting, photography, and dance. When people review the history of the pilgrims on their first Thanksgiving Day, many do not understand that the pilgrims had anything to be thankful for. Many had died. Many were sick. They were in a new and dangerous country. But they were a grateful people, and we are living their legacy. God was integral in their lives. And that's why we're in church today. We are just like the pilgrims, the early pilgrims. And we're like my cousins Jerry and Marilyn. And we're like the one leper, because we are here to publicly and loudly praise God. Amen.